Chapter 11. Part 1. The next day, I went mad. Looking back on it, that is really the only explanation I can find. It was time for my monthly visit to my London doctor, Marcus Kent. To my surprise, Joanna decided to stay behind. Usually she was keen to come, and we would stay there for 2 days. This time, however, I intended to return the same day. The station of Limstock is half a mile outside Limstock itself, and as I was driving there, I saw Megan wandering along the road. So I stopped. "Hello, what are you doing?"
"Just out for a walk."
"Not your usual sort of healthy walk."
"Well, I wasn't going anywhere particular."
"Then you'd better come and wave goodbye to me at the station." I opened the door of the car and Megan jumped in. When we arrived, I parked the car and went in to buy my ticket.
"Would you lend me some money so that I can get some chocolate out of the machine?" Megan asked.
"Here you are," I said, handing her a coin. She went off to the chocolate machine, and I looked after her with a feeling of annoyance. She was wearing muddy shoes and thick stockings and a shapeless woolen top. I said as she came back, "Why do you wear those awful stockings?"
"What's the matter with them?"
"Everything. And why do you..." At this minute, the train arrived. So I got in and leaned out of the window to continue the conversation. Megan asked me why I was so cross. "I'm not cross," I lied. "I just hate you not caring about how you look."
"I can't look nice anyway, so what does it matter?"
"My goodness," I said. "I'd like to take you to London and buy you a completely new set of clothes."
"I wish you could," said Megan.
The train began to move. I looked down into her sad face, and then, as I have said, madness came upon me. I opened the door, took Megan's arm, and pulled her into the train.
"Oh, what on earth did you do that for?" she asked.
"Because," I said, "I'm going to show you what you can look like if you try."
"Oh,"
said Megan in an excited whisper. The ticket collector came along, and I bought her a return ticket. We arrived in London with half an hour to spare before my appointment at my doctor's. So we took a taxi straight to Joanna's dressmaker, Mary Gray, who is a clever and very pleasant woman. I said to Megan, "I'll say you are a relation of mine."
"Why?"
"Don't argue," I said. I took Mary Gray aside. "I've brought a young relation along. Joanna was going to accompany her, but was prevented at the last minute. She said I could leave it all to you. You see what the girl looks like now."
"I certainly do," said Mary Gray.
"Well, I want her dressed perfectly from head to foot. Stockings, shoes, underwear, everything. By the way, the man who does Joanna's hair is near here, isn't he?"
"Antoine, round the corner. I'll arrange that too. I shall enjoy it."
Mary looked at Megan.
"She's got a lovely figure."
"You are a true professional," I said. "She looks completely shapeless to me. Right, I'll come back and collect her at about 6. Part 2. Marcus Kent was pleased with my progress. "It's wonderful what country air, no late nights, and no excitement will do for a man." "The first two are true," I said. "But don't think that the country is free from excitement. We've had a lot."
"What sort of excitement?"
"Murder," I said.
Marcus Kent whistled.
Oof, some country love story. Farm boy kills his girl?
Not at all. A clever, determined killer.
I haven't read anything about it. When did they arrest him?
Oh, they haven't.
And it's a she.
Phew.
I'm not sure that Limstock's the right place for you, Burton.
I said firmly, yes, it is. And you're not going to get me out of it.
Oh, all right. It certainly hasn't done you any harm.
What about having dinner with me this evening? You can tell me all about this murder.
Sorry, I'm already doing something. With a lady, eh? You're definitely getting better.
I suppose you could call her that, I said, rather amused at the idea of Megan described in that way. I was at the dressmaker's at 6 o'clock, and Mary Gray came to meet me. You're going to have a shock. I've done some good work. I went into the main room. Megan was standing, looking at herself in a long mirror. I hardly recognized her. Tall and stylish, with lovely legs in fine silk stockings. Her hair had been cut, and it shone also like silk. She did not wear makeup, or if she did, it was so light that it did not show. And there was something about her that I had never seen before. A new, innocent pride in the way she looked at me, with a small, shy smile. I do look rather nice, don't I? Nice, I said. Nice isn't the word. Come on out to dinner, and if every man doesn't turn round to look at you, I'll be surprised. Megan was not beautiful. But she was unusual, and she had personality. She walked into the restaurant ahead of me, and, as the waiter hurried towards us, I felt a strange pride. We had cocktails first, then we ate, and later we danced. For some reason, I hadn't thought Megan would dance well. But she did. Her body and feet followed the rhythm perfectly.
Gosh, I said, you can dance.
Well, of course I can. We had dancing class every week at school.
It takes more than dancing class to make a dancer, I said. It was a perfect evening, and I was still behaving in a rather mad way. Megan brought me back to reality when she said,
shouldn't we be going home?
Goodness, I said, and knew that the last train had gone. So I ordered a taxi to come round as soon as possible. It was very late when we arrived at Limstock. Symington's house was dark and silent. On Megan's advice, we went round to the back and threw stones at Rose's window. Eventually she came down to let us in.
Well now, Miss Megan, I thought you'd gone to bed.
I said that bed was where Megan should go now.
Good night, she said. And thank you. It's been the loveliest day I've ever had.
So I was also driven home, and as the car left, the front door opened, and Joanna said,
it's you at last, is it?
Were you worried about me? I asked, going inside.
Worried about you? No, of course not. I thought you had decided to stay in London and have fun.
I have had fun, of a kind. I smiled, and then began to laugh. Joanna asked what I was laughing at, and I told her all about the fun I'd had with Megan.
But Jerry, you can't do things like that. Not in Limstock. It will be all round the town tomorrow.
I suppose it will. But Megan's only a child.
She isn't. She's 20. You can't take a girl of 20 to London and buy her clothes without a most awful scandal. Goodness, Jerry, you'll probably have to marry the girl.
Joanna was half serious, half laughing. It was at that moment that I made a very important discovery. I don't mind if I do, I said. In fact, I'd like it. A strange expression appeared on Joanna's face. As she went towards the stairs, she said,
Yes, I've known that for some time.